Turn with me this morning for a beginning place, the 57th chapter of the book of Isaiah. What brought me here, I suppose, is some time back I got noticing in our little crockery paper. Almost every week they got what they call a revival going on somewhere. Of course, I've been there and done that, so I know a little bit about it. And, but I got thinking, you know, actually, I don't believe it's scriptural at all that we'll have a week revival. And sometimes they look pretty good because they get people all riled up.
Yeah.
And for the lack of a better term, get them riled up, get them excited again. Everybody get up and rededicate. And I don't find that in Scripture. Rededication comes after a good whipping. Fellas get rededicated then. But it doesn't happen. Man cannot tell another fellow that you need to get revived. Revival comes by the work of the Holy Ghost, like all other things that pertain to God. It comes by the Spirit of God, and anything else short of that won't get the job done. I don't care how many preaching services you have. And the thing is, taking the people over, and they really are. They're zealous, very zealous. I've been down a couple of times now to the Weld and spoke. Baptist, some of the Baptist folks meet down there, me and folks spoke there a couple of weeks ago, and they're on fire. They really are. But I'm wondering about why. If they're proselyting, they're working hard. This last week, this fellow had his testimony, and he done didn't go to church last Sunday morning. He's out witnessing, doing the Lord's work. So, it's just part of the program, and this revival thing is part of the program also. It isn't anything wrong with folks getting together and have preaching service for a week. But if you think that's going to revive anybody in itself, if the Lord isn't there, and the church is everywhere doing this over and over and over, and certainly the preaching of the gospel will stir the Lord's people up, but they won't be stirred up outside of the work of the Holy Ghost. I don't care how many programs you got. Verse 1, he said, the righteous perish, and no man layeth his heart. And I've often wondered at this, you know, and certainly that we have that going on in our day. Fewer and fewer people seem like they've got any portion of the truth. They go all the way around it, encircle it, and never come in contact with it. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from evil to come. The grace of God. just take them out so they don't suffer that abuse from these other folks. That isn't necessarily what I want to go through this morning, but there's a whole another subject here. That's the reason things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's more of the Lord's people. He's taking them up. And this is part of His judgment upon this old world. Then in verse 13 it said, "And when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. Whoever you partying with, see if they'll deliver you. But the wind shall carry them all away. Man, they shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, build up a good harbor. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." We got to get this thing made level and smooth, and they're going to travel down all the way. Not part way, this highway is going all the way. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him." With him. "Also that is of a contract on the spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contract ones." So revival had already begun when man was contrite, when he called upon the name of the Lord. Revival was there already. And it wasn't something that they had fixed to call into being. It was going to come because of the Lord's work upon His people that causes them to be humble and called.
That's right.
So it's a... it's a thing of the work of the Lord.
Right.
Always correcting His people. If you're not chastised, who are you? And it's the chastising of the Lord that brings revival in His people one at a time. I said I don't like this personal Savior thing, but when it comes to this, I like it.
Amen.
Because the Lord deals with His people on a personal basis.
Right.
If they get too far out of the way, He's fixing to bring on revival. You know, revival is not in this Bible. There's a turning about. And a place or two revival is used, but not in the sense that people use it nowadays, like, "Well, we're going to just call revival and everybody get rededicated."
Yeah.
And we'll get them emotionally moved until they're going to get up and come down here and rededicate. And that's their kind of revival. But if a man isn't brought low and humbled into sackcloth and ashes, he's not going to come down there in the trueness of the Spirit. His old heart won't be ready. So true revival is somewhere else. In Psalms, the 80th chapter. Just chase this a little bit here this morning. In verse 14, he said, "Return. We beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine that you planted." There's revival going on right here. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. And always in our reading this morning, you found out it's the Lord doing it. So will not we go back from thee quickened, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again. O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. There's some revival going on here. But it's all ever been the work of the Lord. It isn't any calling of some man. In chapter 85, in verse 4, he said, "Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease." That they've been getting a whipping. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly, because the whipping is going to come again. He's praying for Israel here. The whole people. All the people of God. Deal with us like this, Lord. This is what we need. This is the kind of revival we need. We want you to deal with us. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Turn. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Right in the midst of everything else. Gonna have a good garden.
Right.
In the midst of dry. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. There's assurance and confidence that the Lord will continue to revive his people. Right. Oh. Psalm 138. Verse 6, he said, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But proud he knoweth afar off." Just don't know them very well. He knows them all right, but not in the same sense. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand." Carry it out. In Psalm 119, go back there. In verse 25, "My soul pleadeth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word.
Mm.
Lord has promised that he's going to be their God and they're going to be his people.
Right.
According to his word. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous work. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I hid before me, laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Revival.
Right.
True revival. In 107 of the 119th Psalm, he said, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. More assurance that the Lord will do this. But where is it? It's in the word. And that word must be in the heart. There'll never be any revival.
Right.
The precepts of man won't bring on revival.
Right.
But the precepts of God, according to his word, will bring on that which he desires. In the 50th verse of chapter 10. No, that's not what I want. Go back to 1921. In the 50th verse, that's what I want. In the 50th verse, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me.
Mm-hmm.
The proud hath greatly in derision, yet have I not inclined from the light thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because the wicked did forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precept. Always the law is there. And then in the 93rd verse, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, according to thy word. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimony. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. But this is what has revived me, the commandment. And the commandment is not upon the brain, but upon the heart.
Right.
And then it'll bring true revival for God's people. The promise is, though, in the Word, is that I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people. And I'm going to teach them all things.
First of all, you can't revive something that hasn't ever been alive, can you? That's a big, I think, big misconception of today's so-called revivals. They're talking about reviving that which never been alive. You can quicken it. You can give life to that which is not that, or that which is dead. You can give life to it, but you can't revive it. It has to have lived once and be alive, and then you can revive it. Again, my word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the word that revives God's people. As Christ said, my word is spirit, and the spirit is life. Mm-hmm. So we have that promise. People talk about, today, they talk about backsliders. And they think that there are a lot of God's people that are backslidden. It's a common term today. My contention is that God's people do not backslide. The term backslide is really an Old Testament term that applied to the nation, not to God's people. Not to the true people I'm talking about. And certainly in the New Testament, it does not ever apply to God's true people. Now, there is a sense in which in the New Testament we could say that they were backsliders, but they never knew God. In Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, we have something that you might consider to be backsliders, but and I guess really in the first three examples, in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. You might consider those to be backsliders, but they never knew God. They only professed to know Him. But as Paul says in the first chapter of Titus, in word they profess to know Him, but in works, what? They deny Him being reprobate, right?
Yeah.
So that is so much great truth in that. And we certainly do not go along with that idea that people, that religion has today of what revival is. Again, I do believe with all of my heart that God is reviving His church, but He was never dead. Just needs to be quickened and brought out of its sleep, as the Apostle Paul would term it. All